What's up, guys? It's the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast coming at you with a very special middle of the week episode. Today, former Red Sox draft pick and Atlanta Braves reliever Madison Younginer sat down for a pretty good interview, of course. A huge thank you to him for taking time out of his schedule to do it. So sit back, relax, and I really hope you guys enjoy. All right, everybody, this is Madison Younginer, former Braves pitcher. Madison, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you, Bryce. Appreciate you having me on.
Yep. And so my first question is, growing up kind of in that South Carolina area, although, so some people, somewhere online it says you're born in Georgia, in other places it says you're born in South Carolina. So which one is it? I'm curious.
I was born in Augusta. We lived in North Augusta at the time. And when I was five, we moved to Albany, Georgia, and then moved to Greenville when I was 10. So I'm pretty much from Greenville, but was born in Georgia.
That's awesome. Thank you. So growing up in the 90s and 2000s like you did you have a favorite player or team that kind of inspired you to get into baseball?
Yeah, I mean, being in Braves country, the Braves were the epitome of ball to me. So I had a life-size Chipper Jones poster in my room growing up that – he was 6'4" and it had the inches going up. And I always, growing up, I wanted to be 6'4". And the doctors always, gave you that range. And so I was like 10 years old. The doctor said I'd be like 5'8 to 5'11", crushed me. But yeah. I showed them and I grew the exact size of that poster. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Growing up, I think Chipper Jones retired, I want to say in 2011. So I got to see him play till I was about 9. So I have like brief memories of the kind of the later stages, Chipper Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy with being with the Braves and in spring training. You got all the guys there. Andrew and Chipper still play golf like every Wednesday. And so when you're in Atlanta, I didn't have the chance to jump into one of those games, but that would have been sweet. Still just getting the shag center, in center fielder and BP with Andrew Jones and talking to Chipper and stuff. It's really surreal growing up with those just superstars and getting to be around them.
Yeah, I'd definitely be starstruck, I think, if I was around them. So my next question would be, growing up, was baseball the only sport you played, or did you play any other sports?
I played everything. I think it's a good foundation to do that. Baseball was something that was really growing, skill-wise. So I had to prioritize that later in my high school career, but I was playing soccer and basketball my whole life and as much pickup football as possible, but couldn't really play for the school. Just at that point in time, it wasn't worth the potential injury, and our team wasn't really outstanding, so it didn't scream for me to go play.
Yeah, I always wonder what professional athletes, kind of what their stance on is, whether you should focus on one sport or play multiple.
Oh, play everything. That's, build that foundational skill set, athleticism as far as you can.
I definitely agree. And so moving on after your high school years, so it seems like you were committed to play ball for Clemson, but the Red Sox wound up taking you in the 7th round. Was it a debate between Clemson or the Red Sox and professional ball? Or did you know straight away that, like, if I got a decent draft position, I was going to professional baseball?
We had to hold our ground on demanding a certain signing bonus from the Red Sox. But I think I'd be lying if I said that I didn't have one, both feet kind of already in pro ball the second I was drafted, and probably had both feet in pro ball March of my senior year, if not earlier. When you start having those conversations and working towards that, it's hard to back off from that. And to me, Clemson was an awesome opportunity. I miss having the chance to play for the Tigers and still got to go visit in the winter and all seasons with my sister and my best friend. Two best friends went there. So got a little bit of the experience, but certainly would have been a really cool place to play, go to school. I was going to study architecture, but I don't have any regrets. I mean, everything was pretty much as good as I could have hoped. As far, I was injured my first 6 years and still had that opportunity to continue playing. Mm-hmm. And so I know you saw me play in Salem, and I went through a couple injuries in Salem, but injuries before then too. If I would have had that happen in college, it would have really hurt my draft status.
Yep. So it seems like maybe it was the perfect thing to go into professional baseball rather than college ball.
Yeah, I think it fit my career better.
And so I looked up your stats, and it looks like from 2010 to 2012 in the organization for the Red Sox, you were primarily a starter. But then after that, beginning around 2013, it looks like you shifted to more of a bullpen role. Was that something you found challenging to do?
It actually came really natural. I didn't know how it was going to feel. We did it because they wanted to limit my innings in games to try to stay healthy and build a year. Mm-hmm. And it helped with that. I ended up getting hurt again a couple years up, into being in the bullpen. But in the bullpen, I really felt like more part of the team. I had a very big part in the decision at the end of the games. I was usually in the eighth or ninth inning, and I just loved that drive and that feeling of, if I do my job, game's over. Mm-hmm. And there was something to that. It just made you feel part of the boys more so than being in the rotation in pro ball. You don't even feel like you're part of the core piece of the team often. You're just kind of like laying it up on a platter, and if the bullpen closes it out, they close it out, and you've done your job. But you're sitting in the stands charting, and you've got your certain things you're doing throughout the day. So it's just so different.
Did you notice an uptick in your velocity when you moved to the bullpen?
Yeah. I was able to stay at my higher range longer. Mm-hmm. And my velocity increased every year I played professionally. I was released when I was 28 the last time. Mm-hmm. And that year it was climbing up farther and farther. So I ended up being about 98 to 100 in 2017.
Wow.
With the Dodgers in June. And then I was getting there when I was released in 2018. And then as a starter, I was more so that 94, 95 guy, and I would touch 97. If I was to continue starting, who's to say that wouldn't have gone up as well? But, yep. In the bullpen, it really, really let me just let it eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's something to it. I always hear guys talk about how, when they're in a bullpen role, it's one or two innings most, and then kind of just empty that tank. And so they're able to actually throw harder. And so I do think there's something to that. And so I was curious if your velocity went up as well.
Yeah, a little bit more adrenaline too, later in the game. They got two outs in the ninth inning. It feels pretty good. I miss that.
Did you have a specific song you marched out to the mound to warm up to?
Every year was different. We got to choose our songs. I had a couple that I liked. We went from a couple country songs to, I think my last year was Way Down We Go by Kaleo, and the crowd would get into that one a little bit because it had a little bit of that, ring to it. So I think that might have been my favorite one I had.
Yeah, it's probably a cool feeling to have the crowd into it when you're getting in there and warming up.
Yeah. Games with a good, a good attendance, a little bit of the crowd into the song when you're warming up. You got to be careful to get too riled up though. If you get too energized by the song, it could go against you a little.
Yep. Okay, so as you previously alluded to, you pitched for the Salem Red Sox, which is an A-ball team for the Boston Red Sox. I grew up in Virginia, and I actually saw you pitch there. I remember it. I mean, of course, back then, 2011, 2012 or so?
That would have been 13 or 14.
Yeah. So I was 11 and 12 at that point, so I didn't really care about ERA or anything like that or stats, but I do remember seeing you pitch there. Do you have fond memories of Salem? I'm just curious. This is more of a personal question.
Yeah. So the lower parts of the minor leagues, which to me is almost double A and down, triple A in the big leagues is just a much different feeling, game, clubhouse environment. So lower parts of the minor leagues, everybody's like living together and you're just like with the boys more so. And so we had a lot of fun. We had two houses that were next to each other, and there were like 11 of us that lived amongst these two houses. Mm-hmm. So, we're going back after games, and I think Sean Coyle had something on like outer space physics, like, just black hole stuff. Like random stuff we'd be getting into, and just a lot of cool things from Salem is just being around the guys a little more than you are at the higher levels.
Yeah, I know that probably wasn't the most exciting question you've ever been asked. I just had to know because
we won the championship there too, and that's the only championship I ever won. So I got to close it out. Luis Diaz and I threw six and I threw two scoreless in one of the big playoffs games. That was an exciting game. That was at home in Salem. Yep. So I got to give Salem credit for also my first, my only championship.
Yep. As a kid, I remember I went to nothing but like Lynchburg Hillcats games and Salem Red Sox games, and both being in the Carolina League. about an hour or so away from each other. As a kid, all I did all summer long.
We hated those Lynchburg games because they were commuters, you know.
Really?
Oh, driving an hour plus to and from every day. It's a long week.
So moving on to the major leagues. So you get the call up from the Atlanta Braves, and I'm sure you heard this a million times, but to make a roster spot for you, it looks like they DFA'd your cousin, Brandon Snyder. Is that true?
Yeah. And they actually took me, I got to see him though when I got to St. Louis in Busch Stadium. So he was the first guy I saw actually, which was a really neat moment. And then when I was getting sent down, he took my spot on the big league roster in Arizona playing the Diamondbacks. So I saw him again on the way down. So it was a little unfortunate. We didn't get to, you know, wear the jersey together in the show, but we got to play with each other a few spring trainings. We actually played with each other with the Red Sox in spring training and then obviously the Braves.
Yeah, I didn't know if that maybe caused some tension at family reunions or something like that.
No tension. I mean, he actually was, his son was being born too. So, I mean, it was, you know, a bit of excitement. Obviously wish we could have played together, but we all just, he had two younger brothers that also played professionally. And so we all wanted each other to play as long as possible, do as well as they could. Got to spend some spring training times with the guys. Three of us were in Florida at the same time. And, you know, within 45 minutes, that was pretty wild.
Yeah. So then I do have a couple questions about your MLB career specifically. So do you remember the team you made your major league debut against?
Everybody does.
No, I was just curious. I didn't know if some people that didn't care or if that's something you remember.
No, man, that's like the biggest day. It was St. Louis. We had a day game in Busch Stadium.
Did you know you were going to pitch that game, or is it just something like, if this certain spot happens, we'll warm you up, or it was just totally random, or what?
It was just a phone call down to the pen. They called my name, and I'm glad they did, because it's nice to get the jitters out, you know, right away. And I threw well that game. Had a few plays behind me that weren't, you know, going my way, but did what I needed to do to show, you know, show some stuff, show that I could handle the situation. And then, you know, flew to Milwaukee right after that game.
So do you remember the first batter that you ever faced? You remember their name?
No, I do not.
It's Brandon Moss.
Yeah.
You got him out on a line drive to center field.
Yeah, lefty, right?
Yep. I was just curious if you remembered that. And then another question, do you remember the first batter you ever struck out?
Just because people send me videos of it sometimes. I can't remember. It's, I mean, it was a guy with Milwaukee. It was my second game. I can't remember his name.
It's Hernan Perez.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just curious if you remember that type
of fastball up and away. I know that piece.
It's so interesting to remember. I'm sure you remember the moments, just maybe not the specific people.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard if they're not like guys that you, because usually it's a really close-knit world. Like everybody usually has played with each other at some point. Mm-hmm. But those two guys I just had never played with.
Mm. So in January of 2009, you retire from baseball. But then come July 2020, you actually come back to play independent ball. So what went through your mind deciding to come back to baseball?
Okay, so you're saying January 2019?
Yeah.
That was after I played in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd already picked up a career in construction and development for an electrical contractor across the Carolinas at that point, doing business development.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed me to leave for a couple months to go down and play in Australia, which was an unbelievable experience. And it was kind of like a victory lap. I had an Australian throwing partner with the Braves, Stephen Kent, who I just freaking loved. He's the man.
Mm.
Great dude, great teammate. And he would always, you know, ask me to come down to Australia in the winter. And I was like, dude, I got to take a break. Like, I can't just like, you know, go from this schedule over here and go to Australia and be traveling around Australia. As awesome as that is, your arm's got to have a break. Your body's got to have a break. And when I had finished ball, it was that perfect opportunity to go take advantage of what was in front of me, to go travel the cities in Australia, play ball over there. Really, really cool experience, really cool league, great guys. And then in 2020, COVID had really just made the construction and development world odd here. Like, it just wasn't as fun and exciting to create relationships and go, you know, build on those in certain meetings and activities and events. So I just took 2 months to get away, went to play out west in the American Association. They did away with their veteran rules where you usually over there, you have to only have a certain number of guys who have played in the big leagues or played in AAA. And they did away with that during the COVID year to kind of build up that league and give guys a place to play. So it was really good competition. It made it a lot of fun. You know, had 6-7 plus big league guys on each team.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good time out there.
Awesome. I bet playing Australia had to be interesting. How big is baseball over there? Do you know?
It's growing. I mean, I'd assume it's continued to grow since. I would say we had about 2,000 to 3,000 fans at each game, but they're loud fans, man. You know, they're into the game. They're chanting. You know, I can still hear them in my head in Brisbane with the chants they had going on. It was a lot of fun. We played in all the big cities: Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide. So it was cool to see the different cities, go see the culture, but also play ball in a country where it wasn't a main sport. That was kind of neat.
And so I watched a speech that you gave. I think it was something for, what was it, like the Greenville Press or something? I can't quite remember.
Okay. Yeah. That.
And you said
they gathered a few of us athletes to talk about the day that we were released.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a story you tell towards the beginning, though, that where you say after your debut in professional baseball, you actually pulled out your phone and called your dad, like during the game. Is that true?
Oh yeah, it was in the instructional league in Florida against the Orioles, and I'm in the dugout. I've got my phone in my shoes, so I throw my two innings. It was like my debut in pro ball, and threw a good two innings, and I had to call my dad. So I stepped out, and I mean, you're talking about like chain link, like not too formal. So I get out there and call my dad, and pitch coordinator comes over. He goes, "Look, great two innings. I know that you were in high school 3 months ago, but you can't call your dad after each game until like we're out, game's over."
Yeah, I heard that story. I thought it was hilarious. I had to ask you about it.
Oh yeah, I had to call my dad, tell him lit it up for two innings and had a good game because he couldn't make it, and learned quickly that it was a job now, but it wasn't in summer ball.
Did you find that as you kept playing that your passion for the game kind of dwindled because it was a job, or was it something that you always loved like you did when you were a kid?
I always loved, the moment that I was in the game.
Mm.
Unless it was one of the games where I had trouble throwing strikes, didn't love those. But, when I was in the moment and I was under the lights in the game, I mean, I didn't want to be anywhere else. I didn't want any other situation around me. That's what I wanted to do. But everything else that's going on once you're at the higher levels gets a little bit overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. It's what makes it a job is awesome. It's so cool to think that I got to play baseball for a living for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot that goes into that. The travel is a lot. The pressure and the fight to get to the next level. I was a fringe guy. I was not as your podcast is called, the Hall of Pretty Good, thought that was great.
That's meant with no disrespect either. Like, you guys work so hard. I could never imagine that.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah. And I mean, I'm proud of my career. I think it's just
definitely
a funny.
Should be.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is the truth. Like, there's a lot of us who we aren't household names. No one's going to know my name, but we got to pitch at the highest level and experience that and do it for a good bit of time.
And I think that definitely deserves recognition, which is why we love to talk about people like you and your career.
Oh yeah, no, I appreciate, again, appreciate you having me on. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is a job at that level. You're sleep every night when you go to sleep, you're thinking about how you're sleeping, making sure you don't sleep on your shoulder the wrong way, your arm the wrong way. You got to eat every meal for a purpose. Or at least I did. I took it pretty seriously. I wanted to give myself the best chance without any regrets afterwards.
So you're in the 2011 Topps Pro debut set of cards. Do you collect your own baseball cards?
Well, I don't know what you mean by collect. I have them.
Because, yeah.
My agent gave me like a pack of 50 of them. I probably only have about 10 of them left. Because I'm just giving them to people throughout, the years.
Mm.
I make sure to have a few.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd probably definitely have way too many if I was in the MLB or professional baseball. I'm always curious if guys have at least one copy of their baseball card.
I think their value is less than the cost of shipping when you look on eBay.
Speaking of eBay, I looked at some of them, and it looks like for a company called TriStar, you signed some autographs for their cards. What is that like? Like, do they contact you, or do you reach out to them? How does that go?
It's through your agent.
Through your agent. Okay. I'm always curious how that went.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was the year after baseball cards really took a decline, because the guys who were drafted the year before me really signed some valuable card deals. Mine wasn't really too lucrative, but it was still exciting to, you know, have that set up. The deal was I would sign 1,000 cards. Mm-hmm. And my agent, you know, everything went through him. So they send you, I think it was just like plastic. I don't even think that you were actually signing the card. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, they're like sticker autos is what they call them. It's like a sticker, yep.
So I signed 1,000 of them. You know, it takes a few days.
Yeah. Hands start cramping after a few hundred. Yeah,
your signature starts out really, really, you know, precise. And then by the time you get to about 990, it looks just like a doctor signed it.
I don't think I could blame you for that. That'd be tough to keep it going the whole 1,000. And so now my final question, just to end on, you talked about construction, how you worked there. What are you up to after baseball?
Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying as much of the free time as possible with golf and fishing, career-wise doing business development and construction, which involves being around the economic development community, architects, engineers. It's really been neat. It's about building relationships, building trust with people. And you know, in the Southeast, we've had a good drive of construction and industry in the past few years. So it's made it not only a fun career to have, just working on a good group of people, but also it's been a successful industry too. So that definitely helps the push. But yeah, just, you know, golf and golf is what I do to get the competitive juices out, so to speak.
Are you any good?
You know, I got really good really quickly, and then got like really average after that really quickly. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened, but now I'm on the tick up again. So I think 2024 is going to be a good year for the golf game.
Maybe you can go from the MLB to the PGA. Who knows?
You know, there were a few years where it was getting good so quickly. I didn't know if that was going to be an option or not. But I learned very quickly after that it was not an option. So I've got my cousin's member guest in Charleston in about a month and a half. So we got to get the game sharpened up for that. Mm-hmm. That's what I look forward to now in competing.
That's awesome. It's good to find a new competitive outlet after you did it for so long.
Yeah, you almost have to. Yeah, I mean, golf's a pretty common one for all of us. You know, when you get back together with a bunch of your former teammates, I think a lot of the guys kind of gravitate towards golf. Mm-hmm. You can't just go compete with baseball by yourself. So,
mm-hmm. Well, Madison, that is all the questions I have. I just really want to thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure you've heard most of these questions 1,000 times over the last 10 to 15 years, but I really appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Bryce, and good luck with the podcast. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. See you, man.
Bye. Well, guys, that was a haul of pretty good interview, and it's all thanks to Madison Younginer. Mr. Younginer, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this with me. I greatly appreciate it, and I hope everybody listening appreciated it too. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to pick the brain of a former Major League Baseball player. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. This has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to download, follow on Spotify, give me a nice review, a nice 5-star rating would be great. I really appreciate all you listeners. Thank you so much. Be sure to check out old episodes and look for new ones. Once again, this has been the MLB Hall of Pretty Good podcast. Have a good night.